Turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll be in verses 33 and 34 today. I appreciate Ed stepping in for me last Sunday as I was down in Lancaster at my parents' church, and they wanted to recognize my mother for 25 years of being the secretary there, and they thought it would be fitting if I came and preach, and so that's where I was. And it was a good time down there in Lancaster. And I appreciate Ed stepping in and doing a good job. But Romans chapter 8 this morning, verses 33 and 34. And today is Mother's Day, as you all know. And as you think about typical Mother's Day sermons, they're typically on maybe Proverbs 31 and the virtuous wife and mother, or Timothy's mother and grandmother, and other good examples of motherhood, and those are great, right? I've taught on some of those things on previous Mother's Days. And the one time I was researching sort of some additional thoughts on, you know, what to preach on Mother's Days and Father's Days and things like that, and one guy made an excellent point. He said something to the effect that mothers and fathers and really everyone, we all need the great theological truths applied to our lives. We need those things, and I like that, and we certainly need to preach those great examples of motherhood in the Bible. We need to celebrate the mothers we have, but the mothers also need the central foundational truths of Scripture, of the Gospel, to affect their hearts time and time again. And sometimes when it comes to Mother's Day, or especially Father's Day, the mothers or fathers, or even those who aren't mothers or fathers, they sort of walk out with sort of guilt, right? I'm not doing enough, or I should be doing this. Well, this morning it's going to be the opposite. This morning I want to relieve that guilt off of you, that shame off of you, and walk out refreshed and relieved this morning as we think about the passage. And so that's what I'm going to do today. We're going to look at the magnificent chapter of Romans 8, especially verses 33 and 34, and see how this wondrous truth can apply to our lives, apply to mothers especially. And so first, recapping just very quickly, the book of Romans up to this point is, of course, Paul is talking about the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done. Because of our sin, we were under God's wrath, right? No one was exempt. The law couldn't save us because we couldn't keep the law perfectly. And so what God did was he created this way for us to be saved apart from the law through Jesus Christ living perfectly for us, dying in our place. And so Paul talks about how it's only through faith in what Jesus did that we can be justified, declared righteous in God's sight. Christ died in our place. He took the condemnation that we deserved, and that's why Paul can exclaim in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful, glorious truth. We couldn't save ourselves by obeying the law. We were condemned for not doing so, but Christ came and died to free us from that death sentence. And so that we are forever and always now no longer condemned because Christ took our place. He took our penalty, dealing with our sin problem before God. And so that's why Paul can say, so if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? Look at all that he has done in Christ. Look at what he will continue to do and what he even does now through the Spirit. So who can be against us? He gave his only son to die for us. So won't he give us all things? What an amazing, eternity-impacting, yet also day-to-day affecting truth found here. And what I want to do is really zoom in to verses 33 and 34. They say this: who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. The main point that we see here is that, of course, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. through multiple questions and answers, Paul helps us to see that for those who trust in Jesus, there is no condemnation. And so he starts out by asking these questions. And he says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? And so these questions are given sort of in a courtroom scene, so to say. It's God's divine courtroom. God is the highest authority that there is. He is the one who determines and judges who is condemned eternally, who is not. He is the one who hears the charges and who can accept or dismiss the charges. And so what does Paul say about those who are God's elect, about the charges against that can be brought against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So consider what this is saying. Imagine you're sitting in the courtroom, God's divine courtroom, and people are trying to bring charges against you. That would be pretty scary. But what is Paul saying? No one can make an accusation that sticks against you in the heavenly courtroom. Not Satan, not someone else, not even yourself. No one can bring a charge that is legitimate against you there. And the question is why? He says, because it is God who justifies. Every charge that Satan tries to bring or anyone else tries to bring against you is actually thrown out, dismissed by God himself who justifies us. So the very judge is the very one who has already acquitted us in Christ. And get this, there is no higher authority who can change his verdict. Think about that. He's the highest authority. There's no higher court it's going to go to. You think about in our legal system, there's appeals, there's retrials, there's bringing it to a different court or a higher court. But if the highest court and the highest judge of that court has acquitted us, then that is the verdict. It will always be the verdict. It is God who justifies. This cannot be changed. No new charges, no old charges can be brought against us that's going to stick. It kind of reminds me of this the story in Zechariah, where Joshua the high priest is standing before the angel of the Lord, and there's Satan to accuse him. But what does the Lord say to Satan? He says, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. That is what happens when Satan tries to accuse those who are in Christ. The Lord rebukes him and dismisses the accusation. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? We are his chosen, who are chosen before the foundation of the world. And he has acquitted us because Christ died in our place. And so you think about it, what relief we can have, what joy, what peace can be found. And that's not it, because he says then in the next verse, who is to condemn? Now, first thought, you could say, well, everyone could condemn me. Look at all that I've done before God. But that's not true for those who are in Christ. Because how does Paul answer the question, who is to condemn? He says, Christ Jesus is the one who died. Like, get this in your mind. No one can condemn the person who trusts in Christ alone, because Jesus died for that person. He took our sin upon himself. He nailed it to the cross. He died taking our guilt and our penalty upon himself so that we could be free from that. He died so that we no longer have to be condemned. And he adds more than that. He was raised. When he was raised, it was like this: the vindication that everything is done. It is a done deal, right? God is approving of his work. And so when Christ was raised, it was God's stamp of approval. It is done. You are forgiven, free, not condemned. And to add to all this, he includes Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for us. I mean, he just piles on. He died, he rose, he is interceding. Jesus is there as our advocate, our intermediary. And that means Christ is right there next to the Father. And when any charge, any condemnation is brought against us, Jesus just says, I already paid for that. I already paid for that sin. I dealt with it through my death. It's done. I love how 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And as one commentator says, Christ, the sinless, sin-bearing Son of God, argues his perfect case on behalf of those who belong to him. It is a case he always wins. He always wins as the advocate. And this is amazing. The judge, Paul, just think about what Paul's saying. The judge has justified you. The advocate has died for you. The advocate has rose again. He is interceding for you. You are no longer condemned in Christ. And the fact is, we receive this amazingness, this grace, all because of what, through faith in what Jesus did for us. Like, we didn't do this. Like, we didn't do all these amazing things that made it so that we're no longer condemned or not no longer guilty. It was done for us as a grace gift. And so let me ask you, if you stood before God, what could you say to clear yourself? I mean, just think about all the sins that you've committed against him in your life. What could you say to clear yourself? Could you point to your good works? Could you point to your effort? Could you point to your family background? No, you can only point to Christ, who died for you, who rose again, and who is interceding for you. That's what you can only point to. You see, if God had done nothing, we would be lost. We would still be under eternal condemnation with no hope. But God did do something. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. As you think about this, it is his love that just permeates the whole thing. Because it was his love that led to and motivated all of this eternal goodness to be shown on our behalf. It was his love that gave us his son, who lovingly died for us, that we wouldn't have to face condemnation. It's his love that we never, ever have to be separated from. Because of Jesus coming to this earth, dying on the cross, rising again, those who place their faith in him alone are made right with God. They are justified. They are no longer condemned. He dealt with our sin before God when it comes to our eternity. His righteousness is credited to our account. And so there's no more left to be paid. Christ paid for it. There's no more guilt before God. Christ took it away. There's no longer this condemnation sentence hanging over our head, for Christ's death took it away forever. And so, do you realize what this means? It means nothing will make you more accepted, more forgiven, more righteous, or more innocent in God's sight. It's already accomplished in Christ. I mean, just think about that. Nothing can make you more accepted, more forgiven, more innocent, because Christ took your place. When God looks at you, he sees Christ's righteousness. He sees what Christ has done, and we have Christ as our advocate. And so no wonder Paul can say, who can condemn? Who can bring a charge? When it comes to our eternity, when it comes to our standing with God, for those who trust in Jesus, it's all secure. It's secure. You never have to, if you have trusted in Jesus alone, you never have to worry about your eternal destination. You never have to worry about God bringing down the hammer of judgment on you. You never have to languish in guilt and shame and act like eternity or your relationship with God is in the balance. No. He is the one who justifies. He has justified us through Christ. And it is Christ who died for us, who rose again, who intercedes at the right hand of God. And so when you think about it, for the true Christian, the most important eternal matters have been dealt with through Jesus. And I just think about that and feel the relief, feel the joy. Let it wash over you in relief and joy. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. He is for you. Won't he give you all things? Look at how he has given his son, Paul talks about. So now what? Like, how does this affect our day-to-day lives? Like, how does this apply specifically to mothers on Mother's Day, you may be asking. Now, if you looked at your outline, you see I've intentionally put there this statement that says what this means for mothers who are in Christ. What this means for mothers who are in Christ. That is very important. Because it means these things are true, what I'm about to share, are true only if you have trusted Christ alone to save you. For Paul can say, no one can bring a charge against who? God's elect, those who are His, those who have trusted in Him and turned in faith. And so that means if you haven't, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ alone, sadly and tragically, you are still under condemnation. And so what you need to do is, of course, repent of your sins, turn in faith to Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. He is willing to save and He is willing to forgive. And these then can be true of you as well, for you as well. So once again, what does this deep, great theological truth mean for mothers in Christ? Right? As we apply it to mothers, and really this can apply then to all of us. And as I was thinking about this, you know, there's something that many, if not all, mothers struggle with. Guilt. You ever hear that phrase, mom guilt? Mom guilt? As one website put it well, mom guilt is that pervasive feeling of not doing enough as a parent, not doing things right, or making decisions that may mess up your kids in the long run. Social media, of course, impacts mothers when they see other mothers in the picture-perfect images and videos of what other moms are doing, and you feel inadequate maybe, and you compare yourself, and you think about the expectations placed on many mothers are lofty, and the trumpet call, the amount of things that you should or shouldn't be doing is at an all-time high, because so often mothers hear different things. They hear, make sure you feed them this, but not that. Don't do this, but do that. Now you can do this, but not that. How dare you do this, but not that. Right? Because of this, many mothers feel this heavy, heavy weight and burden of guilt and shame, for they feel like they don't measure up. They feel condemned for the parenting decisions that they have made. And really, if you think about it, we all can feel the same sort of things, the guilt and shame for things like we feel like we aren't doing or should be doing or things like that. And so you wonder, what is the solution to sometimes this debilitating guilt and shame that mothers often feel? Well, the Cleveland Clinic claims some of the ways you can conquer it are through self-care and getting in tune with your breath. Are those really solutions that will last? What does Romans 8:33-34, how does it help? How does it apply here? As we apply these things, it shows us, number one, you are not condemned based on what others think about your parenting. When you are a parent, you hear a lot of thoughts and judgments about your parenting from others. And in one way, if you raise your kids in the instruction or the discipline and instruction of the Lord, some people in our culture will not like that. You know, they will say that you're indoctrinating your children. They will claim you're raising your kids to be bigoted and ignorant and closed-minded and hateful. And the question is, how will you handle that criticism? How have you handled that criticism? Like, are you going to give in to the pressure? Or are you going to give up on raising your kids according to what God has said? Will you let their disapproval get to you? It could be easy to feel condemned by their thoughts and want to avoid that feeling. Many want to please others, or they don't want to look weird to the world. And so what is the solution to this condemnation of the world concerning your parenting? Remember this. What ultimately matters is what God thinks of you. And what is God's posture, as we just learned, what is God's posture towards those in Christ? He is for us. No one can charge us or condemn us. Nothing can separate us from His love. Though the world be against you, God is for you. And so what matters is what God says of you, not what the world says of you. And so you can rest in that knowledge. And you can let their judgment slide off your back. For the highest judge has declared your verdict already, justified. You think about this. Other times, there will be people who will try to condemn you for choosing to do this and not that. And they will say, how dare you give them that? How could you not give them this? Now, certainly, God does teach and command us how we are to parent our children, and we are to call to follow His ways. But I'm talking about things that aren't morally right and wrong. People try to condemn other parents for what they give them to eat or what brand of soap they use or things like that. People try to condemn other parents for so many of these types of things. And so the question is, how can you not sink under this weight of guilt and shame that others try to throw on you? Remember, no one can bring a charge against God's elect. No one can condemn. Meaning, you have to remember, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned. You're a precious child of God who He loves. And you should just be concerned with following God, resting in His love. You can remember, you don't need the approval of others to be approved. You don't need to be justified in their sight to be justified in God's sight already in Christ. You are not right with God based on how others think about your parenting. Their evaluation doesn't affect your relationship with God and when it comes to eternity. Meaning, no one can stand up before God and say, they don't deserve to be in heaven. Just look at how they used those chemical-filled wipes on their baby, right? No, God loves you because you are His. His grace leads us to want to simply and faithfully follow Him and care what He thinks above all. And so if no one can bring a charge or condemnation against God's elect, that means, get this, that even your thoughts can't condemn you. Your eternity isn't based on how well you think you are doing as a parent. Your eternity is based on the fact, and the historical fact, that Christ died, He rose, and is interceding for you. And so that means if you trust in Him, nothing can alter your standing with Him. Not even your own thoughts and judgments. But here's something else to think about. What about this? What happens if your child or children never once shows you appreciation for all that you have done? Is that going to utterly crush you? Now, certainly we would say, we're looking to the other side, they should show you appreciation, right? But let me ask you, what happens if they don't? Would that completely destroy you? Or are you going to be content in the fact that God loves you no matter what? You have His approval because of Christ. Get this, you do not need your kids' approval to be approved. God justifies. God loves you in Christ, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. It is His love, His approval, His justification that can stabilize us no matter what we receive or don't receive from our children. You can think, yes, others may try to condemn me for parenting God's ways. Others may try to judge me based on what they think I should do or shouldn't do. I may even have my own thoughts that try to condemn myself. My children maybe have never even once shown me appreciation, but that is not going to crush me or make me feel any less loved like a child of God who is justified, declared righteous in His sight. I am His, I am His, I am His. So mothers, sometimes you can let what others think or say about your parenting choices crush you, but do not let them. Without question, seek to follow God's ways, but know that what others think doesn't alter your standing with God, your eternity, for it's all based on the objective reality that Christ died, God has justified those in Christ. But the second application from this great theological truth that I want to bring out this morning is number two. You are not condemned based on how your children turn out. You're not condemned based on how your children turn out. Now, to be clear, this doesn't mean that we just don't pursue being a godly parent, right? Just because we are not condemned based on how our children turn out doesn't mean that it's okay to just sit back and just be a horrible parent. I'm not saying that. We should seek to be godly parents. We seek to follow God's word. And He has called us to raise up our children in godly ways. And we should pursue good works. There should be fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. And secondly, just because you are not condemned based on how your children turn out doesn't negate that that bad parenting does have consequences. Bad parenting does have consequences. We can affect our children's lives. And so now you may be wondering, okay, then how does this help, right? How does this no condemnation declaration make any difference? And the difference it makes is this. It makes the difference in the sense of, amidst all of my failures, my sins, and my weaknesses as a parent, I can confess it to the Lord and then rest in the fact that my standing with God hasn't changed. He loves me. He approves of me. I am not condemned. You see, it's actually this amazing love and forgiveness of God that frees you to confess your sins to your children. Because there's nothing that can separate me from God's love. Even this sin is not crushing, but I can confess it freely and I can rest in His love, knowing that God is for me. He hasn't given up on me. I am not an enemy of God due to my sins. I have not been forsaken by God because of my failings. I am justified in His sight because of Christ. I am forgiven because He has died and taken my place. No one can bring a charge that affects my standing with God. No one can condemn me eternally if I have trusted in Christ alone. And so that means that how your children turn out can never be used against you as a charge for a person in Christ, because Christ paid the penalty. And so no one can say, look at how his children turn out. He doesn't deserve to be made right with God. No, God is the one who justifies. No one can say, you are now condemned eternally because your child is a prodigal. Because God answers back and says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. He took the condemnation that you deserve so that you never have to face it. We need to realize that. He took our condemnation. He paid the penalty for our sins. Our sins are already paid for if we have trusted in Jesus. The condemnation is gone. Sins nailed to the cross. Not even how your children turn out can change your fate from not condemned to condemned. And get this, the fact that Jesus rose again, the fact that He is even right now interceding for you is your constant proof. It's your constant proof. Now surely, follow God's ways. Yes, yes, yes. But know that when you struggle, when you fail to do those things, God loves you. He's proven it in Christ. He has shown that His grace is greater than your sin. Because He doesn't say, wow, your parenting performance has been really bad lately. I am done with you. He never says that for those in Christ. No, if you have trusted in Christ, then you can know that Christ died for you. God justified you, and that will not change. And I want you to think about this. I mentioned it briefly, but I want you to talk a little bit more about it. Because of these amazing truths, because of this amazing grace, how Christ took all of what we deserved so that we could go free, so that we could be forgiven, so that we wouldn't have to be condemned or guilty anymore. He did it all. Because of all that, because of that grace and love, once again, I am freed up to openly confess my sins to my kids. You are freed up to openly confess your sins to your children. You're freed up to say, what I did was wrong. It was sinful. I wasn't being a godly parent back then. And I'm sorry. And you can do that because you know your Father, your loving Heavenly Father, treats you with unending love and unceasing forgiveness, that you can do that with your children.
You can free up and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And maybe you need to do that. Or maybe as a child, you need to go to your parents and say, I'm sorry for something I've done. Or maybe it's even a friend or whoever, whatever relationships. Because you reflect upon the love of Christ and what He has done, you're freed up to confess that sin. You're really willing to admit, I sin. I messed up so many times. And I'm only forgiven, I'm only free, and I'm only not condemned because of what Christ did. Not because of what I did, but because of what Christ did. And so as parents, it's so easy to take it hard when your children turn out not so good. There is devastating guilt and shame often associated with how Christian parents' children turn out. You could feel like a failure. You could feel unworthy of anything good from God. You could even feel like your standing with God has been hit down a couple notches for just look at the way your child is living. But how your child turns out doesn't change your standing with God, nor does it condemn you. There's a place and time that you realize that you need to confess your sin, of course, to them. There are consequences for bad parenting. We don't negate that. But know that ultimately the most important thing, don't change for those in Christ. Your eternity and standing with God doesn't change. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So mothers, fathers, everyone who trusts in Jesus alone, you are not condemned based on your past. You're not condemned based on your sins, failings, and weaknesses and flaws. You're only righteous because you simply trusted in Christ's work on your behalf. So, mothers, I want to talk specifically to you. I want you to realize this. Because of these truths, you are not condemned based on your messy home, what you feed your kids, your failures as a mother, your inability to cook, your rebellious children. You're not condemned based on your inability to meet the expectations and standards of your mother-in-law, or your friends, or society. You are not condemned because if you are in Christ, your righteousness is in Christ alone, and so you can find rest and relief in the love and acceptance of being a daughter of God who is justified by faith in Christ alone. And it is because of that no condemnation declaration over our lives that we are free to follow Christ, that we are free from trying to please others, that we are free to confess our sins, free to find contentment in God's approval, and free to find joy forever in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing love and grace towards us. That though we are sinners and who were under your wrath and under condemnation, Lord, we couldn't even save ourselves. We couldn't obey the law perfectly. We couldn't do anything in ourselves, not our good works. There's filthy rags before you. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. Yet amidst our sin, amidst our rebellion, and amidst us being enemies of you, you sent Jesus. Lord, you made a way. You made the way for us to be saved and forgiven and no longer counted as guilty. And it was all through Christ and what He did. Lord, that shows us your great love. And we know that those who trust in Christ now, nothing can change our standing with you. Help us to just bathe in that truth, find relief in that truth, and apply it as we think through our day-to-day lives as we've done this morning. Help those who may be feeling some guilt and shame to just find the relief in this wondrous truth of your love for them. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.